Welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for Christians to connect with the Jewish roots of their faith. I'm your host, Frank. This week, we're going to be discussing the portion of Akev from Deuteronomy 7, 12 to 11, 25. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it up and read it with us. I pray the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and change your life. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Torah Conversations, where we discuss the weekly Torah portion read in synagogues all over the world from a messianic and Christian perspective for Christians to connect with the Jewish roots of their faith. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, TorahConversations.com. Connect with us on Instagram at Torah Conversations and join us on Patreon as a monthly supporter at patreon.com/TorahConversations. That's patreon.com/TorahConversations for extended conversations and extra content and fun stuff. Well, it's the end of July. Can we believe that it's already 7 months into 2021? And it's almost 2 months away until the end of this whole Torah cycle. Can you believe that we've taken almost a whole year to go through the entire five books of Moses with the Jewish people in the synagogue? It's amazing. And afterwards, we're going to have another cycle, going to be a new cycle, and it's going to be really exciting. This is what I love about the Torah, is that every time you read through it, you see something new. Always. It's really good. And my guest this week, again, is Saskia, who's been on the show before. Hi, Saskia. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Frank. Thank you. I can be back. I'm really happy to join you this week.
Yeah. And last time, you know, we talked about the portion beginning with the menorah, the oil. We talked about the oil in our lamp. I actually had a really good feedback on that episode. People are saying, you know, things that we're talking about, intimacy. We're talking about intimacy. Mm. And it's exactly what the Lord is speaking to them about. And I think I forwarded that message to you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And it was encouraging.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really think it's the most, like we talked about it before the podcast, it's the most important thing, actually, to have intimacy with God. That's what we are created for, right?
Yeah, and intimacy leads to something else, which is obedience, right? which is exactly what these portions in Deuteronomy are about. Because when we read the Torah, when we read Deuteronomy, it seems like it's always about keeping the law, keeping the law, keeping the law. Mm-hmm. But we forget that the root of it is intimacy.
Yes.
When we start with intimacy, then it leads to obedience, this affection-based obedience.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I remember like somebody asking me, when I needed to take a really hard decision, like, is it not hard for you to do that? And I'm like, why? Yeah. If I know God told me, I mean, if God tells you, he knows everything the best. And if you obey God, this is like the best decision you can make, because he knows everything. And if you obey him, that's the best way to do it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to talk about that. But first of all, how has it been for you since we last talked? It's been a couple of months, maybe like a month or so, a few weeks, right? How is it going? What's new in Switzerland?
I mean, it has been going good. It has been also personally quite challenging for me, because I went through some health things, but I really learned to trust God more in that.
Yeah. So how is the COVID thing situation? I know we're so tired of hearing this word COVID, right? But how is everything going on that end?
So in Switzerland, they started to reopen everything again, which is amazing. Also churches. But now the numbers are really going up again. And Yeah, I just can feel a little bit of pressure, like to get vaccinated, to follow all these rules. And I think like that's a little bit concerning because I feel like we should still be free to make a decision in that.
Right.
No matter what decision you take, I don't say vaccinate or don't vaccinate, but you should be like free in that decision.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. In the UK, I mean, at least in England, we had our Freedom Day on the 19th of July, just about a week ago. But the irony of that was on day one, Boris Johnson, our prime minister, went into isolation because he had come into contact with our health secretary, Sajid Javid, who was tested positive for COVID. But he himself had been double jabbed. And he has had COVID. So I would think that his body would have been full of antibodies, right, inside him. But the irony of that, he gave his press conference on Freedom Day, his Freedom Day address to the nation from Chequers, from his home in isolation, which is totally ironic. And and we're thinking about introducing the vaccine passport, which I'm really praying that it doesn't happen. But people are tired of it all, and you and I both share the concerns about the vaccine. It is experimental. It is a new technology, new type of vaccine as well. You know, the side effects, we don't know some of the long-term effects on it. So I think it's time that the church rises up. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We need to rise up.
So is everyone wearing masks then?
Yeah, you have to wear a mask. But if you are like going into a club or a conference or anything and you are either vaccinated or tested or you had it, you can put it off. So it's actually amazing. Like me and the team, we go on New Age fairs. To pray for people. And so now we can do it the first time again because the New Age people said they just do it without masks. And so now that's actually possible. So I'm really excited about that.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, we do pray that the kingdom of God will not be stopped. Well, I mean, we don't just pray that. We know that the kingdom of God is always expanding, and that what the Lord wants to do will always be accomplished. But we do pray that we would be able to advance the kingdom with no hindrance. We pray all the hindrance to be removed and the church would rise in courage, right? Because it is time.
Amen. I think that's the most important. And I think, you know, this whole topic brings so much division. And like we should really not partner with division, but just be unified as one body, as lovers of Jesus, and just focus on that.
Yeah.
Again, focus on intimacy. And also like through this whole situation, people got like so hopeless, so isolated. Like last week I was on a birthday party of friends, and there was like this one guy who was not a believer, and he shared with me that this whole corona was so bad for him because he just hadn't had anyone. Like he was so lonely, but he's also really, you know, looking for God, looking for someone to heal his heart. And so I just could really, I mean, he heard about Jesus before from the friend who was the birthday from. He shared with him a lot about him. But I think through this whole COVID situation and this loneliness, he got like so desperate and so open. And in the end of the evening, he really received Jesus. And this is like amazing. I think this is not a single thing, but this is actually where the people are at right now. They're so open for Jesus, for the real Jesus, for the one who takes away loneliness and brings hope.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That is so good. That is so good. Do you know, if there's one thing that this pandemic did, is to awaken non-believers to reality. That, you know, it's making people think about eternity, think about the purpose of life. And they're looking for answers, because when the whole world shuts down, What do you look to if the world has been, if this world has been your hope? Right.
Right.
Your very hope.
Yeah, and we need to be the ones who actually are the answer, like that they find Jesus and not anything else as a solution.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is another thing that I pray for, is that we would not put our trust on the vaccine. We would trust in Jesus.
Right.
I mean, either way, I mean, I personally, I'm not against if anyone feels led by the Lord to get the vaccine.
Right.
But I don't think we should cave into pressure, because this whole thing about control and fear, and, you know, we fear the virus and then now we're fearing the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessary.
Right.
But either way, we follow the Lord, and whether we get the vaccine or not, we have to live by faith.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, so this is what I pray for. It's one of the things that the Lord's been speaking to some of the prophetic people in the British Isles, is the spirit and the power of Elijah that we need right now, is the power of God, because a powerless Christianity is not biblical Christianity, which is a whole nother topic that we're not going to get into. But this week's portion is really about obedience. Well, actually, this week's and last week's portion we've been on this theme of obedience, following the statutes of God when we enter our promised land. And, you know, we've been on this theme of the Joshua generation entering the promised land,
right,
and some of the lessons that we can learn, and that the Lord is taking us, you know, with all the prophetic signs and stuff, the prophetic stories about the dam in the Sea of Galilee, and the global Passover, giving this timing indicator of the promised land. And we've been talking about the giants in the promised land, and being strong and being courageous, right? Talking about this COVID, having this a preview of what the promised land is going to be like. It's not just a land of promise, but a land of warfare also.
Yes.
And that we need to rise up and be strong. So all of this, right, this is actually, you know, all of these chapters have been prophetic, especially this year. And this is just another aspect of the promised land that, you know, we're about to enter. And one thing that we need to learn is obedience, right? So which is what this portion is about, right? So it's the portion of Ekev, which means follow. If you follow, it's from Deuteronomy 7:12 to 11:25, about five chapters. What are your thoughts on these chapters, Saskia?
I mean, there are a few, but there were three words I wrote down after reading at this, and it's like obey, remember, trust. Like obey God, remember what he has done, and trust in his guidance and trust in his goodness, and just that he will do it well. And yeah, I think that's for me what I would write over these chapters.
Yeah, yeah. So before we started recording, Saskia, we were just chatting about grace versus law, right? This kind of hyper grace and work. And we talked about how there seems to be this idea among some grace camp sort of people that relationship with Jesus doesn't involve work. Otherwise, it's earning salvation. This kind of misconstrued idea of grace. What do you think about it? You shared with me.
I mean, we talked about it before. It's like the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. We are, his spouse, kind of. And I just think having relationship with Jesus is so key. And it is also effort, because like if you are married and you just are with your spouse and you say like, yeah, I don't need to spend time with you, I don't need to prioritize you, I don't need to tell you I love you, like, because I'm already married to you, I already have the covenant, I don't need to earn my love. I think this would be a really, really bad marriage.
Yeah.
And I don't think
we're supposed to earn our love anyway, but I think it's misunderstood to be earning our love, right?
Yes. And it's like we are so in love with Jesus, and that's why we want to spend time with him. And like we want to be, it's written, if we behold him, we get transformed in his image. and we want to behold him to be like him. And I think if there is like one thing I need to say what Christianity is like, I would say it's to have relationship with God.
Yeah, so everything done out of relationship, from a place of relationship, because God has loved us, because God has a destiny for us. He is leading us to our destiny, to our promised land. And with him, being in relationship with him, because of all of that, obedience is a byproduct of it, right?
Yes.
So we because of all of that, we obey. And his ways, right, the laws, one of the things that we've been talking about is that the laws of God are his ways, are who he is. They reflect who he is. And to be able to dwell with him in the promised land that he has prepared for us, it requires this kind of lifestyle to be able to live in such a way. And one of the things that I think that it just we keep on seeing is that if you obey, then you will dwell in the land the Lord has promised you.
Right.
And that you'll prosper in it. But if you don't, the land will spew you out, because your lifestyle doesn't match, is not able to sustain you, to keep you in the promised land. So everything is about relationship. And one of the other things that we keep on seeing is that Moses keeps on saying to the children of Israel, remember what God has done for you by delivering you out of Egypt. And so it's like, because the Lord in his love delivered Israel out of Egypt, this is why we obey.
Yes.
Right. So even in the old covenant, it's never about earning salvation. It's never about earning God's love. It's about, because God has loved us, we reciprocate that love.
Right.
Expressed in obedience.
Yeah, right. And it's like, you know, kind of God gives us a guideline like that we should obey to actually lead us, like you said, into the promised land. And it's this with the Israelites, but it's the same with our own lives. Like if we want to come into freedom with God, like into freedom in our lives, God wants us to be free, but we need to obey him to actually get to that place. And like I experienced that so much in my own life, that just when I obeyed, freedom came, not because of me, but because I made a way for God to move.
Right. You've postured your heart, you've postured your life for that thing that God has promised you.
Right. And it's so good what he has. It's so much better anyway than what we want to hold on to.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not earning. It's not about earning the breakthrough. It's about, you know, when we follow God's ways, then his ways work.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is amazing. So the portion, again, from Deuteronomy 7:12 to 11:25, talks about the blessings of obedience, and then talks about how it's a warning. Chapter 8, Moses gives a warning to the children of Israel not to forget God in prosperity, because God prospers Israel because of his love, and it's part of his relationship, but it's about relationship. It's not about, you know, one of the things that I kept talking about is that religion is using God for our own personal gain, right? So this is what Moses is saying. Do not forget God, because it is about, first and foremost, about relationship with God. So when God does prosper you, don't forget God, right? And then chapter 9 talks about the consequence if you rebel against God. What are the consequences? Because obedience is tied to staying in the promise, remaining in the promise of God. And then Moses begins to recall everything that happened with on Mount Sinai, and what Israel did to displease God. And he's basically saying, remember, it's not because of your righteousness, but because of God, right? So remember all the things that you've done, not in a way that condemns you, not to beat yourself down, but actually to remember your weakness. Right. And then chapter 10, it just goes on to talk about the essence of the law. And that goes back to the rewards of obedience in chapter 11. So, yeah, let's actually talk about this portion section by section. So the first section from Deuteronomy 7:12 to the end of the chapter talks about the blessings of obedience. Mm. So what are your thoughts on this chapter?
My thoughts are like first, like I wrote down like obedience brings blessings as well. So when we obey God, he blesses us. We are fruitful. We have children. Yes. We are healthy. You know, he promises that no sickness will touch us. And I just think, like I was thinking about it, and I just think sin has no place in God's kingdom. And so if we obey him, if we live in his kingdom, sin and all the consequences of sin just need to leave, because God is without that. And so
that's right.
I think obeying God just leads to life. And I think that's what this chapter shows me.
Yeah, it's about fruitfulness. And if we want to bear fruit, then we have to follow his ways. Right.
And his ways are so different than our ways. Like so many times we think this makes no sense now, but God just is, his kingdom is so upside down. And I talk to myself, but we just need to trust that he knows it and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, it's interesting. Verse 16 says, "You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you." And this is so important. This is one of the keys to living in blessing, is to actually cut off the source, that the things that trip us up.
Right. That's so true. Remove all the evil. But when I was reading that, I was actually talking about it as well with friends. Like when you read that as a non-believer, like destroy all the people, it sounds like really, really hard. But then if you actually look like behind it, like who were these people, you find out that they built altars, that they sacrificed children, that they were like really, really evil people who brought so much destruction. And it's actually not God who wants to kill people, but he actually wants to stop the evil, you know, and that's why he wants to destroy that they destroy the people. And so, I just think it's also important to see the context, because if you just read it, like destroy the people, you think like, what God is that who says that? But I think he always has a reason behind it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it says, if you should say to your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. So, you know, God is faithful, and what he's done for us in the past, he will do again. He's faithful to deliver us if we set our hearts to obey him, that we don't have to be afraid.
Yes. Amen. That's also what I underlined. Don't be afraid. And I think like we don't need to fear anything. If an enemy seems so big, it doesn't matter to God. He is greater than that. What I wrote down was just that all things are possible for God, and we should actually not look at the circumstances or the enemies in front of us, like the people who lived in that land. We should not even look at that, but we should just look what he has done and who he is. And that is what really matters.
That's right. Amen. So chapter 8, all the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the ways which all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And it talks about being humbled and the Lord, how the Lord humbled them in these 40 years. And it talks about not forgetting God, in the time of prosperity, because when the Lord brings them into the promised land, it's going to be a place of prosperity, albeit battles, right? But Moses is saying, do not forget God, right? So what do you think about this chapter or this section?
I mean, the part with that he's wanting to see what's in our hearts, I think that's really key and just motivates me. Let's worship God and let's obey him when we actually don't feel like it, because it's such a good opportunity to pass the test and to really like, you know, that's the moments where we like in, I think in heaven, we don't have that chance anymore to obey God and to worship when it's hard, because it will not be all these difficulties. But right now in the situation we are in, we don't see the future. We see so much trouble and hopelessness. Now we have really the chance to obey God and to worship him and to look at him. And yeah, it's so worth it. And what I also just thought was like pride. It's obvious pride has like no place in his kingdom. And it's interesting, like he took away their food, he took away the clothes and all this stuff. And it's like with fasting, it's kind of the same thing, right? We also fast to get humble, to get rid of pride. Yeah. And yeah, for me, I was just thinking about a time where I had like a big, big problem, like a personal problem. And God told me to fast for a long time, and I did it, and I was like, now when I fast it will go away. But actually the problem didn't disappear, but what changed was that I got so intimate with him and dependent on him. And I think that's the goal, you know. It's not the first goal is not that he humbles us and then everything is fine, but he humbles us that we actually realize who he is.
There's a verse in Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 8:5 says, who is this coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? She under the apple tree. That's so, you know, this chapter is about wilderness and then God humbling Israel so that Israel would learn to depend on him. So I think this is kind of your experience as well. You come out of the wilderness leaning more on Jesus, being more dependent on Jesus.
Yes, and I think the wilderness, we don't always feel like it, but the wilderness is such a good place to be, actually, because we get...
It's not the most pleasant one.
Yeah, but we get so dependent on him. And actually, I think I never grew more in intimacy than in my hardest times of my life, where I was like, I don't know if I survived this next day. I don't know how to do it. But that's the time where I grew the most in intimacy with Jesus.
Right. So true. That is so true. And of course, you know, verse 3, he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So obviously, this is the verse that Jesus quoted in his 40 days in the desert, when the devil tempted him and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He's probably talking about manna. He's probably reminding Jesus of these 40 years. The devil probably saw the connection between Jesus's 40 days and Israel's 40 years in the desert.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. I never made that connection like that. Yeah.
And Jesus quoted this. Jesus must have had the understanding that his 40 days was a mirror image, a picture of these 40 years, fulfilling the law, even on behalf of the generations that went before him.
Yeah.
And of course, he's instead of quoting out of the mouth of the Lord, Adonai, he says out of the mouth of the Father. So literally Adonai, he called Father, which is another thing we can talk about. But what's amazing here, the next verse, your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. I mean, this is what the glory does, right? They were in an atmosphere of glory with the pillar of cloud by day, fire by night. That's what happens when we're dependent on him, on the glory refreshes, rejuvenates people, that even their clothes didn't wear out, even their feet didn't swell for 40 years.
Come on.
Yeah. So it's about fearing him and loving him and depending on him. And this is the context of the law, right? It's his presence. And to really know his presence, to depend on the presence, right?
Right.
And then he just keeps on reminding Israel, don't forget. And don't forget the Lord.
Yes, don't forget. Yeah. That's an important point too. We should not forget. Like, we should, like, also they, he reminds them, he gave you manna and you have everything you needed. And I really think with God, we have everything we need. And what I was thinking, like the manna, for me, it stands for Jesus, right? He is the living bread. He is the one who sustains us. And like we also, we should not forget how good he feels, like how it feels when he speaks, how it feels when we encounter him. Like, we need him, and the Israelites needed fresh manna every day. They could not take the manna from yesterday for tomorrow. And so, we need Jesus every day too, and we need to remember.
Every day.
We need to remember how he tastes, how he feels.
Yeah. Well, we have three more chapters, 9, 10, and 11, but we are out of time. But if you want to listen to the full conversation, we have three more chapters to go through in this portion. A lot of good stuff. We're going to be talking about the consequences of rebellion against God. What happens when we disobey God? And this is really important because we want to understand what is God's heart for discipline, because God's judgment, God as a righteous judge, and a father who disciplines us, this aspect of God has been hugely misunderstood in the church. So what does it mean? What is God's heart when he disciplines his people? And we're going to find out on the other side of this conversation. So if you want to listen to the full conversation of this episode, go on to patreon.com/Torah Conversations. That's patreon.com/Torah Conversations, and become a monthly supporter, and you're going to be able to hear the full conversation, and you get to support us and help us put out more content like this to continue to bless nations. So thank you, Saskia, for coming on the show again.
Yeah, thank you, Frank, and bless everyone that is listening.
All right. If you enjoyed this episode, guys, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major platforms. Visit our website, TorahConversations.com, and connect with us on Instagram at TorahConversations, and become a monthly supporter at patreon.com/TorahConversations. Have a great weekend, everyone. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.